It looks like the gay bar may be making a comeback. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Jim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Welcome to TFG Unbuttoned. John Nash here with my good friend and co-host Tim Bennett. FocusGroupRadio.com is our website. You can learn all about us there, including the Focus Group, which drops in video form on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and Facebook Live. And of course, TFG Unbuttoned, your friendly Tuesday podcast, is always available in your audio feed as well as the Focus Group, depending on how you like to listen. But the Focus Group is unique because you can then watch the video if you'd like. So Mr. Bennett, welcome to the week. And before I forget, we want to thank our good friends at Critics Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. We'll be chatting about them a little later in the show. So here we are officially, and I might be wrong about this, but was this coming weekend or last weekend the official end of winter?
Ooh, I think it's coming up.
Okay.
It was because we had daylight savings time. I thought you were going to say the anniversary of the show, which I think is March 28th. We start our 17th year.
March 28th for when we were on
the
XM?
Focus Group. Yeah. Yeah. And then what happened was we recorded that day and then it aired the first week of April or somewhere in the beginning of April.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, you were in Connecticut. As a sidebar here, quickly, you were in Connecticut last week, and I'm going to be up there this coming week. And I was, for some reason, I typed in the town's names where we live, and the Quassapaug Amusement Park had come up. And they talked about all the other things you could do there, you know, around the lake and everything. And then I thought back, and I just scratched my head, and I said, I have to ask John. Do you remember, I think it was Carol Zambruski's family had a sailboat?
Oh, Tim, I'm so glad you brought this up.
We used to go out in that sailboat, but you always acted as if you knew what you were doing.
But I didn't.
I had no idea what we were doing, and I'm thinking, you and I would just go out in this sailboat, zipping around. No life. Do we have life jackets or anything? Do we even know what we were doing?
I don't think so. I'm so glad you brought this up. So I was taking care of my mom for a few days, and I took her on a drive down to Woodbury, which goes right past Lake Quassapaug and the amusement park. So first, you go by something called the MRA, the Middlebury Recreation Association. They had a narrow strip of land that went down to the lake, and we used to swim there as kids. I said to Mom, remember the time you came running down to the shoreline and had us come in because some kid peed in the water? Oh, they were doing that all the time. Doing that
kids
all
from
the
Waterbury.
Time. And then as we're driving, we go right by Lake Quassapaug, which has gotten bigger. I mean, they've taken some parking lot away and they've added all these new rides. But that wooden roller coaster, well, it used to be the Wild Mouse.
Or the Mighty Mouse or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was
that
called
was a
the Wild
death
Mouse.
Trap.
Well, we were told as kids that the cars would jump the track and decapitate people and don't go on the Wild Mouse. So my mom's looking out the window and she's looking at Quassapaug. She goes, oh, you know, she goes, it's sort of hard to believe this place is still here. And I just said, what do you mean, Mom? And she's like, well, you know, it's, you know, she goes, you guys loved it as kids. She said, anytime you had a chance to go to Quassi, you went to Quassi. She said, but I don't know. And then yeah. I said to her, we were driving around the lake. There's a road that goes partially around Lake Quassapaug, and it's actually kind of pretty. And I said, Mom, do you remember the Zambruskis? And she said, oh, yeah, they lived up on Curtis Farms. And I said, they had a sunfish. And I said, and they let us use it whenever we wanted. And I said, I used to take Tim out on the lake with the sunfish. I said, but one time we were just talking about this. He reminded me that I didn't know how to sail the damn thing. And here we were in the middle of Lake Quassapaug. So my mom's listening to this and she's like, she's listening carefully. And she said, oh, honey, nothing bad could have happened. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, no matter where you are in Lake Quassapaug, you could see the shoreline. You could swim to shore.
I didn't even think of that. But
and she just kind of cast the whole sunfish dilemma off as like not a big problem at all. We could just hop off
like,
and swim.
As if you and I were in the Chesapeake.
You just swim to shore.
Yeah, but I thought about it because recklessly, I guess we could have hit, you know, you could have hit another boat. But I thought about that and say, you and I would just... You're like, oh, yeah. And I remember you saying, oh, yeah, we could use it anytime we want. We'd go out And I just assumed you knew what you were doing. You must have read up on it or something, because you would get right on it, start moving the ropes around, the sail would go up, off we go.
It's all seat in my pants.
Well,
it's so interesting you mentioned being up in Connecticut again, because it was a walk down memory lane. My mom has a friend named Carol Walsh. I think she's probably closer to my older sister's age, and she actually used to work in the region where we all went to school and where my mom taught. She was administrative, and she was at Rochambeau, I think, which is our old high school. But she went through Region 15 like we did, and she started bringing up the names of teachers. I couldn't stop laughing. I could not stop laughing, because she even used the same names we used. Hop and Bob. Remember Bob Travers? Hop and Bob.
Hop and Bob Travers.
I told her the story about the time we had the Polish students come to the brand new high school, one of the first exchange things with Poland, and the banner and the Wilkomski, and her mouth just dropped open, and she just started to laugh. And then I told her the story about the time we got out of that activity period by calling, by Laura calling the school saying there was a cake on fire.
Fried chicken. She'd make a fried chicken.
Yeah, that's what it was. And Chuck Duart, the assistant principal, you know, oh, here's Tim Bennett. And look, he just in time to offer you a ride home.
He goes, isn't this convenient?
So now my mom is she's elderly and, you know, and she's listening and she's laughing. And out of nowhere, she just says, I don't like that Chuck Duart. And then her friend Carol, who's sitting in the sunroom with us. Oh, I never liked him. And I told her the story of how he said, well, why don't we give your mom a call? I think she's teaching down the road. And they call her, and I get her on the phone, and she said, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to know what's going on, but I don't like Chuck Duart. So you have my permission to go to get out of school. And then she gets on the phone with him. He goes, really, Carol? Oh, well, okay. And he puts the phone, he goes, you can go. But oh, look, here's Tim Bennett.
Have you called the fire department? That was the other one.
That was the other one, yeah. So I did visit all our old schools. Like, I drove mom around. We went to the old high school. We went to Gainfield, which I think is a different name now. You went to that school as a kid.
That used to be Rochambeau.
Oh, okay.
And then they named it Gainfield when they moved Rochambeau up to the old high school. So why they kept Rochambeau? I know. And there's two Pomperogs. There's a little Pomperog Elementary School, which is where I started. And that's over by the old corn pumpkin patch.
Yes, I wrote. Oh, and Tim, I followed your advice, and I got off 84 at that exit where the pumpkin patch used to be. And, you know, to go from there to the Southbury Plaza added at least 10 minutes to the drive. I mean, there's lights. There's
it's unrecognizable in many ways.
No, but here's another funny thing that happened. We're driving down the main drag in Southbury, my mom and I, and we go by Denmo's.
Yeah.
And just she just looks and she goes, oh, Denmo's is still here. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, it's named like one of the best top 10 roadside foods in America. And so you should stop and get a clam roll or something sometime.
Oh, I should have thought of that. She loves that stuff. Yeah, right. Next time I'm up, I'll take her to Denmo's.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are, folks. We got three stories for you today here on TFG Unbutton. And the first one comes to us from North Dakota, and it's from the Pink News, I believe. And the headline reads, North Dakota Senate rejects resolution asking Supreme Court to overturn same-sex marriage. So the North Dakota House passed by a vote of 52-40. This resolution, which was going to ask the Supreme Court, like, I guess they ask nicely or something, please overturn this. And they claim in this bill they had that the U.S. Supreme Court did this. It was flawed and an illegitimate overreach, which arbitrarily and unjustly rejected the definition of marriage and wanted the Supreme Court to restore the definition of marriage to a union between one man and one woman. You know, I read this. All right. So then it goes to the Senate. And the Senate rejected this after 10 minutes of debate by a vote of 16-31. So it was clearly, you know, voted out. But a lot of residents of North Dakota who are in the LGBTQ community, you know, clearly made their voices heard by saying, thanks for doing this, because now we know how welcome we are in the state. And, you know, the thing that I know we're talking to an audience that probably gets this already, but the the notion that the word marriage, it's a word. And, you know, and if you go back to the medieval times or even to like, you know, the 16 or 1700s in England, marriage used to be a contract. It was right. How you got someone's land and they got your dowry. And I mean, so this fixation on the word and one man, one woman is just so, I'm tired of wrapping my head around it, but I'm glad this thing failed.
Yeah, no, and there's three or four other states, I think Idaho, Montana, there's another one that I think is similar laws they're trying to get through. I was pleasantly surprised just because North Dakota is very red.
Yes.
And the fact that this was defeated after, and it says after around 10 minutes, so there wasn't much debate about it. They voted and it lost by over 50%. So I thought that was pretty good. And you're exactly right. You know, somebody said this the other day on the news. They said being forceful or putting up a fight is helpful, and it does help. And I think that's what some of the people, the LGBTQ people in North Dakota, did, and they made their voices heard, and it helped.
So and it helped. Good. Yeah, good yeah. point. There you are from North Dakota, and as Tim said, deep red. So I'm glad that the numbers were so much in favor of maintaining the status quo, which is same-sex marriage is legal. And yes, there are religious exemptions. If you don't want to have a church ceremony, great.
Yep.
There you go. Hey, folks, for a while now, we've been talking to you about Mando, M-A-N-D-O. And you could visit Mando by going shopmando.com. And it's a complete deodorant system, a whole body deodorant system. It's been created by a doctor, clinically proven to block odor all day. And by the way, the products say up to 72 hours, and they are not lying. We've been using Mando for about 2 months now. And I'm just going to preface by saying this. I'm very slow to change a grooming habit. And I laugh because the last two deodorants I've ever used were recommended by Tim, one when I was in college, and recently after COVID when we couldn't find our deodorant of choice. So for me to kind of move off the dime and try something new and be happy with it, it tells you all you need to know about how good the product is. I'm very happy with they have a stick deodorant. And they have a cream deodorant, and the cream is what I'm using most every day. It's like a little pea-sized thing on your finger into each armpit, and it really does keep you smell-free for 72 hours. But they've been clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap. They're baking soda-free and paraben-free, but we've been happy with the results, and I think we have some special offers for our listeners.
That's right, Mr. Nash, and I agree with you. It's good for all of your keeps you fresh in all of your areas, including the pits, privates, and feet, as they like to say, to keep it simple. But if you have an active lifestyle or you're a professional like us, and sometimes you might be running late for a meeting or you're down in a subway or something and you're sweating or it's warm, it's good to make sure that you're secure in your scent by having a Mando product on. And as you said, we've got a great offer right now for Focus Group listeners. If you use the code FOCUS and go to shopmando.com and type in the discount code FOCUS, you get $5 off plus free shipping. And anybody who knows or has purchased men's grooming products recently, it's a pretty darn good deal. It's actually, we recommend the starter pack, which is 40% off. Again, when you go to shopmando.com and use the code FOCUS, discount code FOCUS, as John said, you get a solid stick deodorant, a cream or spray tube of deodorant, and also two free products. We recommend the mini body wash and the deodorant wipes. And so again, head over to shopmando, shopmando.com, and type in the discount code FOCUS for $5 off plus free shipping and four great products from our partner here on TFG Unbuttoned.
And that's a perfect setup for our next story, because if you're wearing Mando, you'll be odor-free and ready to re-enter the gay bar of your choice. So as I teased at the beginning of today's podcast, the gay bar is making a comeback after being, they were on, in many cases, there was a decline in gay bars and lesbian bars prior to COVID, but COVID really did a number on so many things. I think we all can look back and say we're still dealing with the after effects of COVID, but the loss of the gay bar is one of them. And it was compounded by the rise of the phone and apps like Grindr and Scruff and whatever else people are using to meet each other on. So it's this article came out of, I think this was LGBTQ Nation. And the headline read, "Phones, COVID, and Fascism Have Pulled Us Apart. The Growing Queer Bar Scene Could Reconnect Us." So there is an increase in some gay bars in different cities and towns. Lesbian bars are on the uprise. They are moving up again in terms of how many there are. And the article was kind of just an encapsulation of what Tim and I talk about frequently, which is nothing beats the idea of meeting, going out and hanging out with people in person. And we often talk about the good old days and of just going out, and maybe you would meet someone you would never have met before and have a fun conversation. It might not have led anywhere other than just a fun night. You know, you didn't always hook up when you went out for a bar. Sometimes you just met people. And I know people who met some of their best friends this way. And so it was a great read, actually. And I think that some of the club owners they've spoken to had some interesting insights into what happens when people actually are at the bar and not being distracted by their phones. I like the trend personally.
Right. Well, it goes back to community, which we all know is crucial. And for many, the gay and lesbian bars in particular were very, very much a part of socializing. And as you said, meeting people, it wasn't all about hooking up, but it was a place you felt comfortable. It was a place where there were like-minded people generally. And you made a lot of friends. And so it might be, hey, let's go try this new restaurant, or let's go see this movie, or let's go to the park or wherever you're gonna hang out on a Sunday afternoon, maybe. So I like the idea as well. You and I have often talked about how everybody's got their heads and their eyes on the phone. And I laughed about how they talked to some of these bar owners across the country when they did this, scan of the new bars that are opening. And I like the one idea where they said they had the marching band come through at about midnight.
That's here in New York at a bar called, I think, Red Eye. And that's the guy that does something called Nardi right. Bra. And real marching band comes through.
Well, what he said is that I can guarantee you nobody was on their phone when they came through. And I think that's what the important part is here about connection, about how many times have we talked about funny things that have happened out at a bar that you just can't imagine, that were just so organic, right? Things that would just happen.
Poppers and, for everyone.
So it's good to hear. I was surprised by this one stat that they had in here that they said there were over 200 women's bars in the 80s and fewer than 20 at the start of the pandemic. Yeah. But the count's rising. We're up to 34 now for women's bars, but they took a huge hit during the pandemic. So hopefully this is on the rise and people understand that the human connection is still important.
Very important. Yeah. Well, hey, look, the last time you and I were, not the last time, but one time we were in Vegas at a very popular gay bar on the Strip, and the bartender was talking to us and laughing with us because everyone was glued to their phones. They're surrounded by all these good-looking people.
Right, and you and I were the only two without our phones. Like, hey! Yeah.
And that's why the bartender enjoyed our company. He's like, hey.
You talk.
Our last story here on TFG Unbuttoned is a quick one, and it's just one of these funny things that I came across, and it's basically there's a productivity app available for your iOS device, which would be 17 and higher. So it's like the iPhone and stuff. And there's an Android version coming too. But it's basically a thing that makes you touch the grass. So it's one of those productivity things where you put this on your phone. And if you're using, I guess if you're scrolling through social media or whatever, it watches what you're doing. And at some point, it just stops the phone, like it stops you from doing what you're doing and forces you to upload a picture of you touching grass, like being outside. And then it unlocks the phone again. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it has to be grass. It has to be noticeable, right? That's been one of the issues. That if you're in some of our climates in the north, it might not look like grass. It might be dormant. So in that case, I thought, John, we could do our own app and we could call it Touch Ass.
You know, you get people in trouble, right?
I mean, do it in the week, do it in the evening time. So if you're scrolling at the bars instead of just scrolling, you got to go touch ass.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't like the idea? You know, you got to come up with an idea a day. Isn't that what, I forget who told us that.
Samet or?
Yes, you're right, Samet. You're good. You can pull them out.
So, Jay Samet, I think it was Jay Samet. I forget.
An idea a day, one will hit.
Well, actually, his advice was to write down a problem that had that you could solve. Yeah. Like you had this idea about car parking, and you also had an idea about lawn cutting and shoveling. Like, yeah, but anyway,
they've all happened, by the way.
And they all happened. I know.
You missed out a billion.
So this app is called Touch Grass, and you can get it at, obviously at the App Store. And this article came to us from the Huffington Post. I just thought it was kind of funny that you would just surrender your phone to an app that forced you. You better be near grass. Let's put it that way. And I could see this going sideways quick. Like after two or three times, you're like, you know, delete.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a fun idea.
While it lasted. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, our friends at Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987, are a partner of ours here on TFG Unbuttoned. And we would invite you to visit their site by going to ours, focusgroupradio.com, and clicking on the Critics' Choice Video logo. Be prepared to go down the rabbit hole, because it's not just movies and TV shows. It's toys, books, games. You could shop by genre, shop by category. And if you are a fan of catalogs, and I am a catalog guy, you can request a catalog that's in the menu structure on the upper left-hand corner. I always laugh when I load their page, because it's almost like there's like a gremlin, you know, that's like kind of going around trying to, you know, it puts up everything that I might want to get, right? So a Sean Connery compendium came up, him as James Bond. He's one of my favorite Bonds. Aliens came up, which is the second Alien movie. Jim Cameron did that. And, you know, just a bunch of stuff. And they have a spring sale going on as well. So anything you get, the prices are great already, but trust me, spring sale's good. So what came up on you?
I stumbled on something that I never knew existed here. And I'm just going to recommend people go to Cult Epics, C-U-L-T Epics. There's a spring sale going on right now. There's about 80 of these films, and there's as old as the 1930s. Up until, so it's 30s, 40s, 60s, 70s.
So, Tim, is this like a genre that you can get to off the
right main? And so there's a spring sale going on, so I clicked on that, and then I clicked on Cult Epics, and this spring sale popped up. I had no idea this stuff existed, but it's a lot of those old, like 1940s, black and white, erotic women posing, and there's, as I said, over 82 movies. A lot of them are French. And it just seems so interesting and such a specific type of film and genre. And
Tim, I found the one you're talking about here. Satan's Wife, Summer Heat, The Haunted Palace, The Teacher, Mistress of the Apes. Is this what you're talking about?
No, mine is all vintage erotica.
Oh, this is vintage too. These go back to like
74. So you're in a different one. Yeah, so whatever reason, I got this vintage erotica. And a number of these, and a lot of them, as I said, were French, but they're not stag films, but they're just very much this erotica that they did in the 30s, 40s. So it's not hardcore porn or anything, but I just thought it would be an interesting thing if you were a fan of film or historical film, to know that this stuff was going on in the 1930s, I think is quite interesting. So that's what I found, but, you know, to each his own. I saw a couple of these and I thought I might, I don't know what I would do with them, but I just think there's something about them that I'm...
You might have a party and have them on in the background.
Just have them on in the background with music. You know, that's an idea. If I had a bar, I'd have these running all the time. I think it'd be great. Hey, as John said, head over to focusgroupradio.com, click on the Critics' Choice Video logo, and it's America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. They've been with us since we started here on TFG Unbuttoned, and we appreciate their support of us and your support of them. We hope everyone has a great week. Be sure to catch our show, The Focus Group, with Tim Bennett and John Nash. Again, learn all about us at focusgroupradio.com, and we'll see you next time on TFG Unbuttoned.
It's The Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.